I want to show you a little bit of Cambodia and what God's got me involved in. But I really feel that the opportunity to speak this morning is not really about giving you an activity report, but more about, I guess, a testimony of something that God's really continually working in me. So I'm going to begin with just giving you a bit of a view of what Cambodia looks like, and a bit of the things that I'm involved in, but I'm not going to sort of take too long on that. So, Tom, if you could start that PowerPoint, that'd be great. So yeah, Cambodia, here it is. Some of you have been, some of you are coming. It's pretty crazy. I now have a motorbike, but I don't think I'll ever be quite that skilled at taking my groceries home. That's my motorbike, and I'm sure it could balance all of those things, but I don't think I'll try it. People, maybe. We have exciting things in the bathroom. That guy, I wondered whether, you know, maybe. No, he didn't turn into a handsome prince, but never mind. It was worth a shot. This was taken out of the bus window. We see cool stuff, honestly. The province is just so different to the big city of Phnom Penh. Different poverty and different excitement too. The Global Leadership Summit is something that I've been involved in last year and this year. You might have heard of it. Willow Creek Association fund this in third world countries, and so last year was our first year. This year we're really believing for the momentum that God's created to build up leaders, Christian leaders in churches, in non-profit organisations, and also in business. So really building into the lives of mostly young leaders, because the population obviously is really young. Tom, can you just flick that on to the next one, please? We had TD Jakes on the big DVD screen, not actually in Cambodia, although they really would have liked that. That was on the feedback form, bring TD Jakes to Cambodia. And he was speaking in Khmer, because it's all translated and on the big screen. Prison Fellowship Cambodia, I spent a lot of time working with in governance on the board, but also a lot of leadership and development training. Prison Fellowship work in the 25 prisons in Cambodia. We probably wouldn't leave our dog overnight in what these people live in. And, you know, there are people there, obviously, who have done bad stuff. There's also people who we might give 2 weeks community service to, and they're in there for 5 or 6 weeks. There are children in prisons with their mothers because they have nowhere else to go. So the projects that PFC runs are helping kids, helping families that are left behind, but also upskilling. Can you flick it on to the next one, please, Tom? Thanks. These are some of the guys from the leadership team. I really, really, there's a team of 12, and they're an amazing team, really giving their lives for kingdom building within prison ministry. So it's a real privilege for me to do leadership development training with them. Amazing. Prisons are a hothouse, really. There's a population of 10% of the prison population are born-again Christians, so that's pretty exciting. They go back out to their provinces when they're released and take the word of God with them. The Bong Pa'un Project. Bong is big, Pa'un is small, so big brother, big sister. Little organisation working in the slums, 30 of the slums in 30 families in 10 different slums in Phnom Penh. So leadership stuff there with just kind of helping the administration of the funds and what we spend them on and decision making. And also I'm a mentor to a couple of families, that family included, that are on the wall there. Yep, Tom, thank you. Oh, same photo. Good photo. One of your photographers here in our midst, I do believe. Thanks, Miss Amy. Yeah, they're great kids. The longer I go see them every Sunday, the more attached you get, which is how it's supposed to work, eh? They're pretty special. And then ad hoc, I do a lot of leadership development training just when I'm asked for small Christian organisations. These kids are university students. They're sponsored by an organisation called One to One, which is run by Dr. Annie Chen from Christchurch. She doesn't actually know me, but through her team in Phnom Penh, I've done some leadership training with these guys, conflict resolution and stuff like that. You've Got Talent is a show or a project that some of us started to just let people shine their light, get an opportunity to show what it is God's put in them. So we have kids, we have adults, we have Cambodians, Filipinos, Americans, Koreans, singing, dancing, poetry, whatever. It's fantastic. And incredibly, we just have full houses every time, 600, 700, 800 people. We bring in families from the slums to come to a show, to come and sit in a fancy building compared to what they're used to, and just get to see amazing spectacle. And there's a 4 or 5 minute word that's preached. It's all translated into Khmer as well. So the interviews at the end of each person doing their thing, they get a couple of questions asked of them, and everything is translated into Khmer. And in general, we probably have maybe 10% of foreigners, expats, coming and bringing their families, but mainly it's Cambodians, and a lot don't know the Lord. So coming into the church, which is where it's held, because our venue is, I guess, one of the best venues in town to seat that many people. It's a pretty exciting opportunity, and we just believe that God is planting seeds and doing things in people's lives. So, cool. Tom, thank you. Yeah, these guys are from Hosanna School, Christian School, Korean Christian Mission Organization, and these kids have come from not a lot. Great school, and they're right into dance, and I don't really know exactly which. Anyway. Dancing. These kids love it. It's really, really fantastic. So I think that potentially is the end of the photos. What's the next one, Tom? Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. So I know that there's people sitting here who know me pretty well and know some of the stuff that happened in terms of how did I get to Cambodia. But I realise there's a lot of you here who know my face. I know your face from when I come in, but you really don't know me. She's just the girl who works in Cambodia and the church supports her. So let me tell you a little bit more. A few years ago, so I'm from Rangiora, obviously. This is my home church from when I was about 20. I'm now 36. And a few years ago, after living Wellington, Auckland, London, LA for work, I went through a pretty big pothole. I thought that by 2006, 2007, I would be living back in Rangiora, happily married, with children, with my friends, my church, my family. But instead, I found myself unable to have kids, divorced, burnt out, and pretty lost. I had God, but I was still lost. When I couldn't have kids, I tried really hard to be a good wife, to prove that I was worth keeping. And when my marriage started hemorrhaging, would be a good word, I threw myself into my work, and I was a success. I was good at what I did, and I got my worth in being a really good project manager and being good at what my job was. But I wasn't very balanced. And so I ended up burning out. And I really got to the point where I felt like I had nothing left, and I didn't really understand what had happened. You know, it wasn't supposed to be like this. This was not the plan. And I guess for a couple of years, I thought I was doing a fairly good job of keeping it under wraps. I was trying to keep up appearances. I was pretty bad. The enemy was pretty good at showing me to compare myself to my friends, to their marriages, and the enemy kept digging at me. What did you do wrong? Why were you not that good? So I had quite a long time of God was right here, and I was clinging to him, but I was still trying really hard because I needed to be better, and I needed to fix whatever was wrong and why things weren't working. You know, I think we all, we spend our lives often, we want to make our parents proud. And I know that we do, you know. I know that my parents are proud of me, but still, what drove me for a long time when I was at high school, when I was doing really well, when I was head girl, what really was my motivation? Who was I trying to be better, good, worthy for? To be a good wife, a good employee. To make God proud of me. Like, I was representing God in a workplace that he wasn't, you know, there were many, many, most people that don't know the Lord. To people in my family, we represented Christianity. And so I'd failed God. And I just kind of lost what was my purpose, what was my vision. And God showed me that I needed to stop trying so hard. I needed to stop trying to prove that I was good enough. It didn't matter what I did or how hard I tried. He showed me it didn't matter that some of my plans hadn't worked out. He had plans for me that were good and not for evil. I knew that scripture. Of course I knew that scripture. But did I really know it? I knew it here. Just because my marriage had failed, just because I didn't have kids, just because I'd burnt out at work, it didn't mean that I was a failure in his eyes. And I needed to stop comparing myself to anyone else. He showed me that I was valuable and I was human. And he made us human. He knows that we can't be perfect. He knows that we stuff up. He kind of expects it. He made me and he loved me just the way I was, and I didn't need to earn his love or acceptance. Again, I knew this in my head, but did I really, really know it in my heart? Tom, can you flick to the next slide, please? I love this scripture in the Message version, Hebrews 9:15. Through the Spirit, Christ offered himself as an unblemished sacrifice, freeing us from all those dead-end efforts to make ourselves respectable so that we can live all out for God. We're not perfect. We're never going to be. But God needs an unblemished sacrifice, and he provided one. And we don't have to keep trying. God showed me that I'm free from that. And that means I can live all out for him. So I don't have time to tell you the whole next story of how I ended up in Cambodia, but basically I pleaded to God to get me out of here. And I went for a two-month trip in 2009 to Cambodia. Can you please start it again, Tom? Thank you. It should just flick through. And God showed me that these people who helped were worthless, felt worthless because they had no hope. You know, because they've got no education or no job. They live backing onto a sewer. Some of you guys have been here. Amy took that photo, I'm pretty sure, and that one. They can't read. They can't provide for their families. They live in a society where karma, it's all about karma, and they must have done something wrong last time. So what's the point in trying? God showed me that kind of the opposite of maybe the environment that we grew up in a first world country, where we try, they don't bother anymore. They have no hope. They obviously deserve it. And God showed me that these people in jail, in a slum, living on a boat, fishing on that boat, she sleeps on that boat. That boat picture, that's where that woman lives, sleeps, works. That these people are just as valuable as me. It doesn't matter that they don't have an education. It doesn't matter that they don't have money and that maybe they can only just every day provide for themselves. They're just as valuable as me. And he showed me the other side of the coin. Because I'd done well at school, had a degree, had a good job, earned lots of money, had been a success, it didn't mean that I was actually worth more than them. God values all of us. And he did show me that the opportunities that I'd had and the skills and the lessons that I'd gained in my 13-year career, in my life with my friends, in my marriage, which was mainly good. It was good, most of it. It was only the last couple of years that I had to remember that stuff, the good stuff, the lessons I'd learned, the things that made me who I was up until that point. He made me look back, and I didn't want to look back. And he showed me that everything I had been through, he would use for good. He hadn't orchestrated my divorce. He hadn't orchestrated my burnout. But he did have a plan to use these things for good. Let me go to the next slide, Tom. And again, I know we know it, but let's read it. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. I wanted to live all out for God. I wanted other people to know what I know, that it doesn't matter that we're not perfect. We're still valuable, we're still loved, and each one of us has a purpose. So 2 years later in 2011, after another short-term trip and a lot of work by God in my heart, I moved to Cambodia to use those skills, those lessons, to help people realize their true value, their potential, and help people see their own lives and their calling in the light of Jesus. I don't necessarily every day sit in people's homes in slums or sit in their office and tell them that just because they're not perfect, it doesn't matter. There is a perfect Jesus who died for us. But the organisations that I'm working with, they are reaching people in the coalface. A lot of what I do, 80% of what I do, is working with leaders. It's working with people who are running organisations, who are in charge of people who are out here doing this. And it's pretty cool. I love the way that God uses a word that he reveals to you and teaches you. And for me, I mean, it's constant. But then, you know, I've heard it been said that, like, scripture is like a diamond. It's got lots of facets. And depending on the light that you put it in, you see it in a different way. It's the same word. But you get to a different point in your life or another chapter, and God reveals more to you. So, yes, it was for me, but it's for those people as well, and even more so the leaders that I'm working with in those organisations. They are so grateful. I'm not saying they're more grateful than us, but they're so grateful for what Jesus did. They didn't grow up even knowing who Jesus Christ was and going to church and singing hymns, and then one day you become born again and all that stuff becomes really real, you know, and you realise what it was you were singing and what it was you were saying. If you're a person that grew up in church but didn't have a recognition for yourself. They didn't have any of that. They just thought it was all hopeless. And karma's karma, so you're just stuffed, really. It's all predestined. They are so grateful, but that means that they work. The leaders, those Christian leaders of those organisations, run themselves into the ground and don't even mean to, sacrifice family time, you know. So teaching them and helping them to see Jesus did this for us. We don't need to try all the time to do more, to do better. Okay, could you play those photos? So these guys in prison, learning how to be useful, how to do something that when they get out of prison, they've got worth, they've got value, not just because Jesus loves them, but he's given them opportunities. It is not hopeless. And one of the programs that we have is connecting kids and families to their parents in prison. They have visiting, but no one can go visit because they can't afford to get on a bus and go from one province to another. These little guys are kids of a prisoner, and so one of the projects makes sure that the families they're living with have got money to give them food, get them to school. You can probably see some of your friends up there in the top right corner. This church in a slum, they have nothing, but they have everything. They tithe their rice to their neighbours Here's some of the guys from the slums getting up there doing their hip hop, showing they've got talent, God loves them. They have a purpose to make people smile at this point in their lives, and there's so much more for them. Global Leadership Summit, yes, we were empowering leaders and they were getting teaching, but we had, I don't know, like 60 youth who were so excited about being able to volunteer and help in such a new big occasion. I know that it's not actually going to be super difficult to get them all back on board this year. When I ask for volunteers, they'll be so excited. They got nice t-shirts and they get to smile at people and encourage them and just be helpful. Yeah. There's Prabal and Sal, two of the little guys from the slum. Life's not easy for them, but they do get told, whether they believe it yet or not, every weekend when we see them, God loves you and he does care, and we do get to pray sometimes with their families and their homes. Living all out for God. It's not about proving ourselves worthy. We're never going to be able to do enough to be worthy. Jesus was perfect and he is perfect. He was worthy and he is worthy. We don't need to try and we don't need to pretend. We don't need to keep up appearances. If we do that, it just takes longer. I still have to remind myself of that. I know that a lot of you know, even in ministry, you still run around being busy, doing good stuff. The enemy loves it when we're busy running around trying to prove ourselves. He loves it because it keeps the focus on us and not on the freedom that we've got in Christ. I've found that we just need to constantly ask the Holy Spirit to help us check our motivations for why we do what we do, why we say yes to doing more things, why we work the hours we do. Is it to prove our worth? Is it to feel needed? Is it to avoid dealing with stuff? Or is it because we know that it's something that the Lord wants us to do? It's really hard when there's so much need. And I know that Rangiora is no different to Phnom Penh, really. There's so much need. There's hurting people out there. There's people who need. But just remember, God has somebody to do each of those things. Don't try and be Superwoman or Superman. It doesn't work. Like here, I'm sure, we have many, many Mary Martha issues in Phnom Penh. Comparing each other, judging. These people here are so earthly minded, they're no heavenly good. They're running around doing all these programs and they're feeding kids in the slum and it's all good stuff, but where's the prayer? And then there's these people here who are there to be prayers and intercessors, and these people think, oh, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good, what are they doing? Don't compare. We need both. But God puts in each of us what it is that's our passion, what it is he has for us to be doing. And that changes over your lifetime. Just focus on what it is he wants you to be and then what he wants you to do. Don't compare yourself to others. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying don't try hard. Don't put in 100%. God doesn't waste anything. I mean, he uses every experience, whether we get really good marks in our exams or whether we don't. Try hard, absolutely. But what I am saying, just make sure you don't judge your worth or your value based on your success or your failure. Don't judge other people's worth or value based on their success or their failure. I'm not saying that things never work out as you plan them, so don't bother planning. God gives us dreams, and for some of us, he makes us really good planners. Maybe just let go on some of the dotting the I's and crossing the T's and having tick lists. But plans are good. I'm not saying don't bother planning. What I am saying is if it doesn't work out as you plan it, if it doesn't work out as mum and dad planned it for you, if it doesn't work out as your wife or your husband expected it to, don't beat yourself up. You're not a failure. Your worth and your value is in being a child of God. And whether it's a tragic event, whether it's mistakes, whether it's dumb decisions that we've made, whether it's because we just didn't study enough and we should have, whatever it is, it all works together for good when we allow God. That's it. We have to allow Him. You can read that scripture over and over again about, but you've got to allow God to do that. You've got to stop and let Him. Let Him work His purpose in our lives. And when we place our lives, including our past failures and our mistakes, in His capable hands, He can make something beautiful out of it. Maybe something more beautiful and more useful than what we were originally. Nothing is wasted. So whatever you do, can I just say, give it your best. Don't beat yourself up if it doesn't work out exactly as you planned it. Try and treat others with the value that God places on them. And just remember, God made you and He doesn't make junk. There's a song that by an amazing worship leader called Christy Knuckles. And the lyrics of that song last year, you know, I think I knew the song, but then you know when you listen to it again and the scripture in it or the lyrics in it really just jumps out. It's called For Your Splendor. And I'd like to just sing it for you this morning.
Life on the outside, will I blossom into what you hoped I'd be? You're so patient just to help me see the blooms come from a deeper seed that you planted in me. Sometimes it's hard to grow when everybody's watching, to have your heart pruned by the one who knows best. And though I'm bare and cold, I know my season's coming, and I'll spring up in your endless faithfulness. With my roots deep in you, I'll grow the branch that bears the fruit, and though I'm small, I'll still be standing in the storm. 'Cause I am planted by the river, by your streams of living water, and I'll grow up strong and beautiful, all for your splendor, Lord. So with my arms stretched out, I'm swaying to your heartbeat. I'm growing with the sound of your voice calling. You're bringing out the beauty that you had put in me, for your joy and for your glory falling. With my roots deep in you, I'll grow the branch that bears the fruit, and though I'm small, I'll still be standing in the storm. Because I'm planted by the river, by your streams of living water, and I'll grow up strong and beautiful, all for your splendor, Lord. Oh, hey. Oh, 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 yeah. You raise me in your love, love, love. You raise me in your love, you raise me in your power. Thank you, Lord. With my roots deep in you, I'll grow the branch that bears the fruit. And though I'm small, I'll still be standing in the storm. 'Cause I am planted by the river, by your streams of living water, and I'll grow up strong and beautiful, all for your splendor, Lord. For your splendor, Lord.
I talked this morning about what I really felt God wanted me to talk about, probably for me as much as for you. But, you know, if there's stuff that you need to let go of, if there's stuff that you realize you're just trying to make yourself more worthy, look better, be accepted, if there's stuff that you need to lay down, if those scriptures are things that you really just need to take into your heart today, then I just really feel like God wants to make an opportunity for you to do that. I'll let Glenn come up and take over, but I would really love to pray with anybody who feels that they'd like some prayer. Thanks. Thank you for listening.